power is something that is, well, we like power. We like physical power. We got electric power. We got car power. We got all kinds of power. I think power fascinates us. I know it does me. The powers of nature, though, both terrifies us and intrigues us. Tsunamis, storms, lightning, hurricanes, devastation of a tornado, the movement of glaciers. These are, and other events remind us that we humans are no match for nature's power. Well, these things, not only the powers that threaten to overwhelm us, but the advent of technology has unleashed new realizations of how limited we are as human beings. Artificial intelligence now harbors the power, the potential power, I should say, that we can't really comprehend. We really have no idea what it's capable of, and let alone what it may be capable of in a few years from now. The Bible says, you know, knowledge will increase and faster, and it sure is. The more that we study science, the more we realize that we have barely touched the surface of what the human brain can do, or what we know about space, or about the ocean, or even what lies ahead at the center of the Earth. Well, every day we hear a new discovery that thrills and chills us, because we barely can fathom the powers that lie beyond our comprehension and abilities as human beings. It's no wonder, then, that we find it both intriguing and terrifying at the same time, and to think about the reality of the resurrection. It's often simpler for us to say, well, that can't really be true. There must be some other explanation. I don't know. That's likely what the disciples said, too, until they experienced Jesus face to face for themselves, when he was raised from the dead. So we face with the truth of the impossible. Our minds may struggle to get a grip of it, but in the end, we can't do anything but become humbled by our limited knowledge and power to face the vastness of God. I love those pictures of space. It's just incredible. I digress. Resurrection is what we celebrate today, known commonly as Easter Sunday. It's the cornerstone of theology of the Christian faith, and it's why we're here this morning worshiping. And yet, we continue to struggle with the wanting to keep Jesus nailed to the cross or buried in that tomb, where it makes more sense to us that he must be in there still. Well, it feels kind of outlandish and impossible to imagine the truth of the resurrection, doesn't it? And yet, here he is in the person of the Holy Spirit among us today, asking us to put our trust in him and his power of the resurrection hope. Resurrection is ultimately the power play. I think the resurrection itself is clearly enough to knock our socks off when we think about it and have us shaking our heads in disbelief. But that's not the only thing. In Scripture, the women encountered that resurrection day at the tomb. You see, God not only resurrected Jesus, but he broke him out of the tomb, which he was in, with a big old rock sealed in front of him. There he laid, moving a giant rock and a boulder out of the way with a snap of the finger? I don't think so, but it happened. God managed a miracle for Jesus. That alone has been worth the feat of watching. We go back to our imagination, and you can see the picture on the screen that Phil put on there, a picture of a common tomb in Israel where the big rocks are rolled around. No. But in those days, tombs were not graveyards that we think about today. You look out here on the Bethel graveyard, that's not what it was like thousands of years ago when Jesus walked the earth. They were nicely engraved stone with a sealed coffin underneath. And then they rolled a rock over in front of it. It became like an enclosure to hide that cave. And you had to be pretty strong to roll that rock away to see what was in there. But inside the small room was a slab where one could lay the body and to be entombed. Then a large-sized boulder rock would be rolled over the entryway, and they would seal it tightly. So after a period of time, when a body is in the grave, it decays, leaving only the bones. These would then be typically to put into an ossuary, a stone or a bone box, as they called it. Members of the family would be placed inside in the family ossuary, which could hold the bones sometimes of an entire family for several generations back. The stone sealing the cave like a tomb of Jesus would have been extremely heavy and would require several men to seal it. In fact, the Romans used an extra heavy rock for this important grave, because the emperor didn't want Jesus to get out of there. They did not want anybody to get in and try to steal the body and claiming resurrection. Especially after Jesus told him what he was going to do. Hey, this guy ain't getting out of here. We're going to make sure we're going to seal this old tomb. Now, we know from Scripture that Jesus' tomb was sealed, and the guards were in fact stationed outside the tomb so that nobody could try to come in and open it up. Little did they know or understand that the power of God would lift that boulder like a feather from a goose. Nothing stands in the way of God's victory. Nothing stands in the way of God's salvation plan. So now we learn that early in the morning, just as the sun was rising, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, came to the tomb to anoint the body with oil and spices. They worried as they went about who might open the tomb for them to do this ritual. They knew that the stone was impossibly heavy and large. Yet, they went. They arrived. But the stone had already been rolled back. And sitting inside the tomb, they saw a man in a white robe sitting on the right side of the slab. And Jesus was missing. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that would be a pretty surprising, even terrifying, shocking, mind-blowing, alarming, worrying. Above all, how could that be? The power alone that would have taken to roll back that boulder was already a freaky magnitude. Then there was the issue of the missing body. If that wasn't enough, there was the messenger in a white robe sitting on the slab, and an angel, we learned. It was an angel telling them that Jesus had been raised. Now, it must have sounded like something out of a Nancy Drew novel, you know, the one that was called Terror at the Tomb. But the women held fast, and they fled. They hightailed it out of there. And the scriptural translation today tells us that the women were seized with terror and amazement. But these words don't even come close to the descriptiveness of the original language. There was a word in there that's translated awestruck. Can you ever been awestruck? Well, they were, to the level of a wide-eyed wonder. It confused them, it befuddled them, to the extent that they were experiencing a rapture-like amazement. Their minds were in shock. They were bewildered and afraid. I know I would be, too. They trembled, shook with fear, and at the same time experienced a kind of like transcendent feeling of ecstasy. They both felt fear at the situation, but at the same time, the feeling was that this is an out-of-body moment. It's a God moment. A God wink, if you would. It took their breath away, and that's how exhilarating and terrifying their experience was at the same time. To witness the God's power, the kind of resurrection power, was enough to take your breath away, and they were absolutely amazed. Now, we know from history and from Scripture and all that the guards who had witnessed the power of God to move that rock fell to the ground shivering in shock. That's how terrified they were. In fact, anyone who had ever encountered a God revelation in their life has experienced at least a sliver of what these women must have experienced that day at the tomb. It was a phenomenal experience. Perhaps at the moment, they realized what Jesus had been telling them all along. Perhaps they were in shock, too much to even think about that moment, what he was telling them. At first, they said nothing. They must have thought that everyone would think they kind of lost their mind, you know. Or perhaps it took a while for them to calm down and process what they had just experienced. But, I love the buts, as you know, but things would move quickly from then on. And soon all the world around them would change, as Jesus would be revealed, as he revealed himself to them, to his disciples, and to others, all before his ascension. Well, today, I think we too continue to be awestruck at the power and the miracle of God. We too continue to try to wrap our heads around the truth of the resurrection, something so amazing and out of this world that we have trouble comprehending. Indeed, God never meant for this to be something we can't comprehend. For the very reason that we cannot comprehend it, it remains a mystery. The power of God. For the very reason that we cannot comprehend it, it requires us to cultivate instead faith. Faith. So, if we believe in the resurrection on faith and faith alone, only when we are confronted, truly confronted by the presence and the power of God in that moment, when we wander in awe, that feeling takes over. And that simply we cannot put it into words. I really think that when the disciples knew that, and we learn it from the Gospels to be true, truth resides in putting our faith in God that lies so far beyond our capability to understand it, that we simply bow our heads and stand in awe. That's the reality of faith. That's the truth and the power of the presence of God. So this Easter, or Resurrection Sunday, as we contemplate all that we know and what we don't know, we allow our mind and heart to embrace and marinate in the truth of the resurrection. Allow your faith to kick in and your heart to soar with joy. For he is risen. He is risen indeed. He is risen. He is risen indeed. God loves you and we love you. Thank you for being here celebrating Resurrection Sunday, a gift that God had given to us so that we may believe and accept his Son, Jesus Christ, into our life, with the wonderful blessing of eternal life. Jesus broke that bondage over sin and death that the devil held over us for a long time, because when Jesus was crucified and put in that grave, the devil said, ha ha, I got rid of that old boy. He won't bother me no more because I'm the God of this world. And then lo and behold, 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead, seen by many. And before the ascension, he promised to come back again. And we hang on to that blessed hope. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Well, I hope and pray you and your family have a good time together as we celebrate the resurrection of Christ with dinner and fellowship and all that. It's really cool. So thank you for tuning in to the online service. God loves you, and we do too here at Bethel. Take care. Hope to see you in person soon.